Okay, tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Corinthians, chapter 2, verse 4 reads this way. It says, "In my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, and we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. Lord, for the understanding that you are in our midst where two or three are gathered together. And Lord, that you desire to open up our hearts and minds and to draw us closer to you and to one another as we serve you together. And Lord, as you desire to use us to be your light and salt in this lost and dying world that desperately needs you. And so, Lord, we pray that you would strengthen our hearts and minds and our lives, our faith, that we might grow in your grace, be a testimony of your grace, and experience you in a greater way for your glory and our blessing. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is The Demonstration of the Spirit and of Power. And let me just call your attention to verse 5. In fact, look at verse 4 again. "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of" where? "Of God." But in the power of God. You know, it is good to be standing where God wants us to be. That's where our stability comes, that's where our strength comes, and that's where we will be the greatest testimony and experience the greatest joy that God has given to us. I mean, when you consider the life of Peter, where was he concerning his relationship with the Lord the happiest? Was it not when he was in the company of the Lord, when he's drawing closer and walking in his grace and understanding the peace? But every time that he got in front of the Lord, he got in trouble, didn't he? He put his foot in his mouth more than once. But we thank the Lord really for his example, because we realize that whenever we overstep our bounds or misstep or supersede where the Lord wants us to be, the Lord is always there to call us back and say with open arms, say, "Come back and walk with me." So that's a good truth, and that's a good thing to know as a child of God. And I want to mention this. The same thing that was important in 2020 for the believer is even more important in 2021. The same thing that was important to the believer in the year 2020 is even more important in the year 2021, and that is that we might seek and allow God to have his will with us. Amen? Listen, you will never find more fulfillment, you will never find more peace and more joy than saying, "Yes, God, I am presenting to you my body that you might perform your will." Isn't that amazing? You know, I think we over-engineer things and we complicate things and we think things that are so far beyond what God... We overpass God. God is saying, no, I'm over here. You've overthought this thing. I just want you to present yourself to me that I might have my will with you, and I will do the rest. You don't have to do anything. You just have to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, your will in me," and everything's already been done because of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection. We can be found faithful because of not our faithfulness, but because of God's faithfulness. And because of God's truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So all we have to do is walk with him. So three things this evening are needed if we're going to allow God's will to be done in our life. And that first thing is going to be a declaration. The second thought, and that's found in verse 1. The second thought is going to be a determination, and that's found in verses 2 and 3. And the last thing we're going to look at is a demonstration. And believe it or not, all those words are in there. If you squint just right. No, really, they're in there. They're in there. And you'll see that. And that's what God's really wanting us to do. So verse 1, we're going to start off with the declaration of what? Of the testimony of God. Look at verse 1. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom," notice, "or of wisdom, declaring unto you" what? "The testimony of God." Oh, did you see the word declaring? Yes, declaring. God, listen, was using the Apostle Paul to declare the testimony of God. Why was the Apostle Paul doing that for the Corinthian believers? To teach them that they also might be able to declare the testimony of God in their life. Well, what is the testimony of God?
Well, it starts off with salvation. If you're saved here, God has given you a testimony of the grace of God. And you can share that. You can listen, if you were to die today, how sure are you that you'd go to heaven? Amen. 100%. Why? Because we're so wonderful? We'd never make it. But praise God, He's faithful. Amen. And it's His word that's the truth, and it's by His grace and nothing that we've done, but simply what we have received. And so we thank the Lord for that. And by the way, is salvation a work of God? Is salvation a work of God in you and in me? Absolutely. So that is part of the work of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 says we are, in verse 10 says, we are His workmanship, created unto good works. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Did you just feel that big load on your back? Created unto good works, that we should walk in those things. Did you? Oh, my goodness. Did it just flatten you on the ground? Only if you picked it up. Only if you picked it up. But again, if we're saying, oh, God, you do, I am just to present my body, and you guide me in it, and you do the work. And then all of a sudden, His load just got a whole lot lighter. You know why? Because the Lord picks it up, not you and I. And so when you contemplate that thought concerning this declaration of testimony of the grace of God in salvation, not only is it in salvation, but the testimony of God is also in revelation. And what is that? Well, every time you open up the Word of God, we have the potential for God to reveal and give us a better understanding, you know, the aha moment when we all of a sudden see a truth that God wants to enhance in our life, that we might have a better walk with Him. When we understand more about what the Lord has given to us, we are set freer. We've been set free. It's just our understanding sometimes runs a little bit behind what God is, God's truth. And again, I bring out the case of the Apostle Peter. The Lord was right there in His presence. Did He understand everything during the Lord's earthly ministry? He did after the resurrection. He still made some mistakes even after the resurrection, but you know what? Ultimately, he fought a good fight, and he ran a good race, and God can do the same for you and I. And so we have this testimony of God in revelation, and God wants to declare that. Listen, when God gives you and I an understanding that really God's yoke is light, and His burden is light and easy, when He reveals that to us, that's a testimony for us to share with one another as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. That, hey, you know what? Don't pick up the load. Just present yourself and God will do the work in and through you. Do you believe that? Do you know why? Listen, because our life is in His life. Oh, wait a minute. It gets better than that. His life is in us. His life is in us. And His resurrection power is in us. It's not of us. His is in us. Isn't that something? And so we can rest in that. Lord, okay, do Your work. Oh, well, that's just too simple. That's the beauty of it. Amen? That it's just that simple. And then lastly, as we look at this declaration of the testimony of God that Paul was declaring to the believers there at Corinth, we find a testimony of God in experience. So here it is. You get saved. Was Peter saved on this earth when the Lord was in His earthly ministry? Was he saved as he walked with the Lord? Are you sure? He was. He was saved, wasn't he? Did he have a good walk with the Lord? Did he understand everything as he was walking with the Lord? Or did he grow in the grace of God? Isn't that something? He understood better. And I imagine he had a little bit of a testimony. You remember when he denied the Lord three times and the Lord resurrected and he said, tell my disciples and Peter also. And the word got out to him. Do you think he felt a little bit relieved? Do you think he felt a little bit of joy? And then all of a sudden, God used him. God used him to preach, and thousands of souls got saved. Now, what do you think when Peter walked away from that experience? Do you think he realized that God never forsook him? Do you think he thought, my goodness, my God is so faithful and so merciful? If anyone deserved to be a castaway, it was me. And God not only brought me right back in, but you know what He did? He put a ring on my finger and put a robe on me, and He killed the fatted calf, and we had a celebration. And so Peter had salvation. He was given a revelation. Peter, the Lord's calling for you. And then he had an experience on Pentecost, didn't he? And he had something to share. Listen, you've been given salvation. God wants to give you a revelation so that you can have an experience that will give you a testimony of the great and mighty grace and power of God in you. That's why the Holy Spirit is in the believer, and that's why we're in Christ and Christ is in us, that he might glorify himself because he's inside of us to the whole world. So that's our opportunity. Okay, so the three things that are needed to allow God's will to be done in our life is, first of all, to understand the declaration of the testimony of God. Paul was explaining that to the believers very quickly. Secondly, I want you to notice a determination for what? To know Jesus and him crucified. So listen, you have to have a declaration of the testimony of God. Begins with salvation, then a revelation of the truth, and then an experience. What good would it be if God, you got salvation, and it is good, it's eternal life, but what good is it to the cause of Christ if you receive no revelation from the Word of God that gives you understanding of how God wants to work through you and how all the work's already been done by him? And then not only that, but listen, what good would it be just to have salvation and a revelation and no experience? You have nothing to shout about until you see. Listen, after Peter preached, and how about the lame man in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John came up to him and said, hey, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he just laid there. No. He was up. We have a little song that we sing, don't we? Leaping and praising. Leaping. How does it go? Walking and leaping and praising God. Walking and leaping and praising God. That man's life was changed. Wait a minute. Peter, don't forget about Peter. Remember Peter? The one who denied him three times? And he just preached prior to that a message and 3,000 were saved, souls were saved. And now all of a sudden God just used him again. You know what that was? He had salvation. God gave him a revelation, says, tell this man to rise up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of it like Peter just sits there and he goes, oh, I knew that was going to happen. Do you know that Peter was just as awed by it as you and I are? Do you know that Peter's heart was drawn to the Lord when we ponder that thought, just like Peter was when he saw that? Oh, God, it is your grace that made this man whole. And listen, he shared that, didn't he? Because later on, he said to the Jews, he said, why are you looking at me as if I am my own power? And then he got another experience. The same Jesus whom you crucified. And their hearts were touched. And so there was another experience. So listen, that's God's work in us. You know the sad state of affairs is to just leave it at salvation. Where would have Peter been? Oh, listen, he would have gone to heaven because of God's grace. But aren't you glad that he took heart in the revelation that God wasn't done with him? May I say this? God's not done with you or I either. And he's wanting to give us another experience of his grace. And he wants to do it on a daily basis. All right, so now secondly, I knew I said that before and I backed up, but anyway, here it is, ready? A determination to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. Look at, and this is going to deal with the focus of heart and the focus of mind. We have to be determined to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing this, God wants to reveal himself to us. Believe that in your heart. If you have a little doubt with that, it's good to say, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Put in my heart, Lord, to believe and to know you and him crucified, and heart first, and then the mind will follow. So look at verse 2 with me. For I determined, did you see that? That's the word determination. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's a good thing for the believer to be determined to know. Paul was wanting us to understand that. And then lastly, we're going to look at this. A demonstration of what? Of the Spirit and power of God. Where? In our life. So here it is. Ready? Verse 4 says this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Listen, did Paul say, "Follow me as I follow Christ"? Did Paul say that? Yeah, he did. He did. He says, "Follow me as I follow Christ." He says, I want you to know that, listen, that I am directing you into the truth. God is revealing the word of God to me, and this is the way that we're to walk. All right, so watch this. "For my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now watch this. "That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." That is a demonstrated power of the Spirit and power of God in the life of the believer. Here's a little inside, I don't want to call it a secret, but a truth. It's already been given to you and I. Is Christ in you? Then the work is done. Are you in Christ? The work is done. Are you sealed with the Holy Spirit? The work is done. You just have to ask God to help you to believe that and walk in that. Now, the flesh will tell you, "Yeah, but you fail." Well, who doesn't know that? That's why we need the Lord's righteousness. But has it not already been given? I'm not saying that we don't confess our sins. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, don't look to yourself. God never expected us to serve Him in our own strength, or we'd be a failure like Peter was when he tried to do it by himself. Then all of a sudden, the Lord drove it home to him that "I'll do it for you. And I've already done it and will do it." And that's why we can have the confidence that God has delivered us. He is delivering us, and He will yet deliver us. Isn't that good? All right. So let me ask you a question concerning the demonstration of God's salvation in us. Now, that's a work that is a declaration of the testimony of God, be it with salvation, continuing on with a revelation from the Word of God to us, and experiencing the power of God that He has promised, that He's given to us already. Then we need to have this determination that Paul had to know Jesus Christ and Him crucified and the power of His resurrection in our life. What good is it, right, to want to do something and somebody do it for you, but you don't do it? You know what I'm saying? So if you wanted to learn how to play a musical instrument and all you did was just watch people play it and you always wished you could play it, is that going to be any fun? Wouldn't it be a whole lot better experience? I mean, don't get me wrong, you can enjoy the beautiful music as long as it's beautiful music, but you're not playing it if that's your heart's desire. But when you begin to play it, and the wonderful thing is, God has guaranteed the victory by His grace. We just have to be convinced. And God is in the convincing business, in case you wondered. He wants to convince us if we'll just call upon Him. So, how do we understand a demonstration of God's salvation in us? I'm not just talking about eternal life. We're talking about all the components, the revelation and the experience and the power of God working in and through our life. Well, let me very quickly just make mention of this. When you see a home being constructed, taking place, when you see that taking place, can you tell what's going on? If you were to pass by that same house day by day, well, here's some of the work that you would not see. Maybe the foundational work. It might just look like a pile of dirt for a while. But there is work going on. There's either a footer or a basement or some kind of foundational work that maybe not be able to be seen. That's like salvation, isn't it? People can't see it, but then all of a sudden, the walls go up. And then that's it. Everybody's done. Go home. No, you've got to put the roof and you've got to put the walls and all that stuff. And then how do you know it's complete? Because there are people living in it. Wait a minute. Does Jesus Christ live in us? Then the world ought to see Him. Amen? The problem is we may have hindered the Lord in His work with unbelief, not thinking that He's going to do that work. And so maybe the foundation work's set. It's there. But where are the walls, the windows, and the life? And the life in our life. So tonight, God wants to demonstrate the power of His Spirit in your life and mine. And all we have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, fulfill Your will in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, and we thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us, and Lord, that we're always in your hand, even if we get sidelined or distracted, or Lord, we are always your child, and Lord, I thank you for that. I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts as only you can, and that you would give us the wisdom, the understanding, Lord, the revelation that you've got great things that you want to do with our lives, that we might be delivered from sin and be a testimony that glorifies you, and that we might enjoy, that we might truly be a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, as you've called us to be a testimony of the life-changing grace, Lord, that we would walk in your victory and in your power to share the great work, Lord, that you're doing in our lives, beginning with salvation, and then, Lord, to be the demonstration and the light of your glory. Lord, bless each one that's here tonight, those who are unable to be here, and help us to understand, reveal to us that you're wanting to do great things, and all we have to do, Lord, is just present ourselves and say, Lord, do your work in me. Bless Northwood Baptist Church, Lord, those that are unable to be here tonight and each one here. Bless the prayer time as we break off for prayer. And again, Lord, may you be glorified, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.